Be sure that you're tuned in to KBOO Community Radio just before midnight on Thursday, November 17th for a very special celebration of Hip Hop History Month. We'll be dropping a 3-hour block of old school beats from back in the day. Again, tune in just before midnight on Thursday, November 17th for a celebration of Hip Hop History Month right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland's own label Zam Zam Sounds, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today my guest is Cornelia Swart, the director and producer of the film Priced Out: Gentrification Beyond Black and White. But first up, local art news. The Residency in the Garden is a site-specific artist-in-residency program looking to create a system of hospitality that encourages guests to investigate their art practice in an urban flower garden located in North Portland. Those interested in contemplating growth, exploration, and the experimentation through liminal spaces are encouraged to apply to either the Garden Residency or the Greenhouse Residency. Each will culminate in a curated showcase exhibiting the work produced during the creative stay. Go check out residencyinthegarden.com for more info. The Voice is a Muscle annual grant. Each year, The Voice is a Muscle will award $10,000 grant to an Oregon writer to be distributed in 2 payments over the course of a year. They are dedicated to amplifying artistic voices by extending direct financial resources to writers. Your artistic labor is important and urgently needed. Art is the counter voice to cultural repression. Writers matter. We understand that making art is a vital social labor rather than a market-driven product. Corporeal Voices is dedicated to recognizing the voices, bodies, and lives of writers as socially vital to society. We are committed to a non-hierarchical collaborations to the body as a site of resistance and resilience, to new forms of storytelling, and to new relationships on the planet, and to one another. Their 2017 inaugural grant will be dedicated to the voices of people of color. Please go check out corporealvoices.org. Drawing as Core at Northview Gallery at PCC Sylvania. This exhibition will be a collection of large-scale singular installations by Karen Essler, Laura Ross Paul, and Renee Zangara, where each artist's work will represent a specific material response to and an elaboration of the drawing process. Elser's panoramic mural on synthetic paper is executed most exclusively with densely worked charcoal. Laura Ross Paul's constellation of painted panels integrates dry marks with predominantly fluid media. And Zangara's work, a series of 3 paper scrolls suspended from a massive freestanding frame, literally bridges Elser's and Laura Ross Paul's work, appearing to be equal part drawn line and brushed on color. Please go check out PCCEDU About Gallery Sylvania for more information. Fall 2016 Writing Hybrid forms a writing workshop at Literary Arts this weekend, 11/19 and 11/20, to be taught by a previous Art Focus guest, Shayla Lawson. In this class, students will erase the battle line drawn between poetry and prose. We will commandeer creative license in order to deconstruct the notion of form using text of contemporary poets Nelson, Rankine, and others. Participants will find spaces in which hybridity can open their own work to conquer uncharted narratives. The class will include an in-depth study of contemporary form through the examination of class texts, independent writings, and inquiry-based workshops. Scholarships for this workshop are still available. Please visit literaryarts.org to learn more. Well, today's guest, Cornelia Swart, is the Priced Out director and producer. Swart co-produced the first film, Northeast Passage, with Spencer Wolf. Since then, Swart has established himself as a reporter with a deep knowledge of the community. He published a community newspaper and hyperlocal website that covered St. John's, North and Northeast Portland, and called the Portland Sentinel for 5 years. Since then, he has worked on staff at the state's largest newspaper, The Oregonian, the state's largest television station, KGW News Channel 8, and as a director of content during the startup of the web-based news platform GoLocalPDX.com. Swart volunteers as prime for this particular project. Hello, Cornelius. Welcome to Art Focus.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly.
That's close enough.
Thank you. Well, hey, let's dive right in to one of the most pressing issues of our region, gentrification and the displacement of those of people of modest means, which are predominantly people of color. Tell us a little bit about your film, Northeast Passage, The Inner City and the American Dream, and the takeaway you wanted people to leave with.
So the film was done in the late 1990s, and it was focused on Albina, Inner North, Northeast Portland, and the black community at a time in which there was a revitalization movement that was slowly turning into what we think of as gentrification, meaning that at one point the investment at least appeared to be or hoped to be largely for the people who were in the community or that they would benefit. And it was turning to investment was really targeting newer people, wealthier people who were intending to move in. And so we are showing this film again this coming Thursday so that we can kind of reboot our conversation about gentrification and how we should look at it in terms of really kind of moves from revitalization to gentrification to the housing crisis, which is now kind of almost a citywide problem with a superheated overinvestment.
Would you mind sharing with the audience where and when and how they can get more information about the screening that's happening this Thursday?
Sure. The screening will be at 7 p.m. at Billy Webb Elks Lodge at 7 Northeast Tillamook. And you can just go to pricedoutmovie.com and you'll be able to follow the links there to come and see the show. And if you mention the name Justin Burry, you can get in for free.
Well, thank you. Well, I have to say, as someone with the film background myself, I greatly appreciate the mobilizing power of film, and especially the power of documentary films to share information and, you know, perspectives often ignored by the mainstream media. What specific points were you hoping to make with your new film that you're putting out shortly, Priced Out?
Well, Priced Out is a sequel, and so we go back to the characters from the first film, and, you know, obviously look at how did we get from there to here? What were the mistakes in public policy? What were the mistakes that were made really at the grassroots level that contributed to the displacement in the African American community? And then we say, and how is that experience, how does that experience inform or give insight into the housing crisis, which is now being experienced in so many parts of the city?
Nice. Let's see, next page. I was born and raised in New York City, and I can recall seeing the vestiges of housing and buildings and development that grew in ever-widening circles from the city center. This, in my opinion, is how cities grow. Why is the process here in Portland so gut-wrenching?
You know, I'm from New Jersey, and I went to school in New York and moved out here in 95. And so, you know, I would say that in the East Coast, one of the differences, I mean, there's gentrification obviously happening in New York, and this somehow, you know, in some ways the cycle popped up first in New York, Jane Jacobs and all of that. freeway fighting actually starts in New York City. And the sort of the culture of gentrification, though, in New York has been sort of ingrained. And, you know, coming out here, I immediately could see the signs of what was happening. And in New York, there is just a tradition of heavy turnover of neighborhoods, I think. It's hard to speculate, you know, but, you know, I lived in the Lower East Side, and there was definitely a consciousness that, you know, this neighborhood had been Irish, and it was Italian, and it was Chinese, and, you know, it was just, it turned over a lot. I think in Portland, people are very rooted, and there's almost an expectation that things are going to stay the same. And so this level of disruption that appears to be sudden for many people is probably surprising to many, but I can only speculate.
No, and that's fair. I mean, I think one thing I like about you're going back to Priced Out after Northeast Passage is the notion that, you know, what decisions were made at a policy level, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and how are they reverberating still today? I mean, you think about the issue of redlining and people being excluded from certain neighborhoods. And then once those policies and laws were overturned, how there was an explosion of speculation that literally forced people out of their neighborhoods, you know, within 3 to 5 years. So it's interesting to think about how, you're right, there's a weird paradox between the long take on gentrification and yet how certain policies can actually have an immediate impact.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And you'll see in this film, and hopefully it'll be clearer in the next film, that public policies sort of lay the groundwork or create an environment in which exploitation and profiteering can occur. And that's a very different framework depending on the community and the time period. But in North Northeast, in the, you know, from the end of World War II straight up to the 90s, you have all of this institutionalized discrimination that is basically setting up the gentrification that would then happen in the 90s and the early aughts. In Portland, I think there's, you know, if you follow the issue, largely we're talking about a framework in which renters have very little protection when you compare to other cities, other, you know, large coastal cities around the country. And we do have a very constricted housing supply. And so some of that is legislated. Some of that, you know, people are going to say density issue or high zoning. Other people are going to say, well, urban growth boundary. But there are structural issues in place that create this pinch. And so, you know, it's about looking at those policies with enough foresight to try to head off some of these issues when the market does get really, really hot. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense. And I think it's important to add to that while historically people of color and marginalized communities often bore the brunt of these market-driven shifts within, you know, the how areas are developed and gentrification, I think it's telling that now that there are a variety of renters of a multitude of races and economic levels that are being disparate, that are being negatively impacted by gentrification, that now we're actually getting politicians like you, Chloe Udaly, who are being elected solely or largely on the platform of how do we address this issue.
Yeah, and that's sort of, you know, unfortunately, the way kind of a populist democracy works is that, you know, unless there's a strong sort of advocacy for people who are on the fringes, you know, nothing really happens until there's a critical mass of voters who want to change things. And without really strong leadership saying, hey, we need to have compassion, we need to look at the long game, you know, these things get ignored. And there's a great moment in the new film in which a woman who grew up in Albina, black woman who says, you know, the black community is often a, kind of the canary in the coal mine. And when it comes to the black experience of gentrification, she says, it's like the old expression, if they come for me at night, they're going to be coming for you in the morning.
True. No, very, 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 very true. So, it sounds like a fascinating project. How are you engaging with your hopeful audience Excuse me. In addition to the screening of the films, do you have, you're a writer, it sounds like you're very multidisciplinary. Is there a larger project here aside from the films itself?
I wish there were. I've been a writer, I've been an editor, and I've done documentaries from time to time. We would like to have, an outreach campaign of small screenings for this film priced out when it's released. We kind of have to raise money for that, and that's challenging, but that's our goal.
Well, I'm going to do a little plug here. My day job is I work at Portland Community Media. We had a screening with the Cinema Project a couple of weeks ago, showing some films, and great turnout. So please reach out to them as a resource. They've got a variety of projectors and large size screens that maybe can transform a variety of spaces into something that might work for you. But please check out Portland Community Media as a resource.
Will do. Yeah, they've been great. We've been in conversation with them, and they're fantastic.
Outstanding. Okay, so I'd love to hear about your crew. What resources were you able to draw upon, and your process? It sounds as though you had a pretty lengthy time between Northeast Passages and now Priced Out. So, talk to us a little bit about your process.
The process was really just. The main character from the first film, a woman named Nikki Williams, who is the central emotional focus of the film, came to me in the beginning of 2015, saying that she was she wanted me to do a sequel. She wanted me to revisit the issue, and the first film really ends with her saying that she's excited about seeing gentrification happen in the neighborhood. And I think she wanted to revisit that because she was very distressed and upset about how the neighborhood had changed over the 15-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it began. And then it was just sort of a mad scramble to shoot and sort of, gather people to the production as, volunteers, but there have been some paid contractors, and we've worked with some great people, including Donovan Smith, who grew up in the neighborhood and has worked at both the Scanner and the Portland Observer as a reporter, and he's been a great connector of the production to the community, as well as we have some fantastic people who volunteered their time and skills. There's Martin Lendahl, who's a motion graphics editor, and designer, and he's just created some great visuals for us. Eric Maxson, we've had people donate drone footage and drone hours that we just never would have been able to reach given our small budget.
Nice. Well, it sounds like a real community effort, and obviously it's great. I know Donovan. I think he's an awesome young man, and it's great to see that he too is branching into different mediums as well, so that's wonderful. So if you'd mind me asking, my next question is, what impact do you think the internet and sites like YouTube and Vimeo are going to have on the art of documentary filmmaking? And are you considering yourself a documentary filmmaker first versus a writer, or are those two relationships flipped?
I'm just sort of someone who works on these stories, it's kind of journalism. It's a little bit of cinema. Obviously, this is definitely a documentary. I'm definitely a documentary filmmaker while I'm making the film. I don't know if I would take that label on. It's really kind of who's paying me and what am I doing to make money is what I generally use as a title. So most of the time I've been a journalist of the last 10 years, I think the internet is a great question. How is it changing documentary film? Or is it changing documentary film is your question. And I think what has happened, really starting with reality television, is that the appetite or the appetite for documentary or verite-style filmmaking has grown in that, when I went to school in the 90s, most people considered documentary films like unwatchable. And what's happened is that people will they're now used to watching sort of really badly shot footage that has something really incredibly compelling happening in front of the lens, right? So the tolerance for you know, jittery camera work and just the appetite for real stories has just gone up and up and up and up, and I think that's really benefited documentary film, and I think we've seen, you know, just a lot more high-profile documentary films as a result of that.
Nice. Nice. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. What's next for you? What's next for you? Is there a book in there, or are you going to start doing work for Vice Television?
Yeah. The next project is called Cornelius Gets a Job. We'll see. Hopefully we'll be able to take this film, you know, through Portland into communities that are most affected and communities that can be active in addressing the issue. And then hopefully we can take the film to other cities, other mid-sized American cities that are at the beginning of this curve that we've experienced. And we can help to get a conversation started in cities in which they have time to act before the kind of displacement that we've seen occurs.
That reminds me, another resource that might be great. Have you been in touch with the folks out at the Rosewood Initiative?
I have early on in the production, but they're a great group out there.
They're great. Yeah, just thinking as maybe a potential another screening point, another place where you can, you know, get a large number of people together. All right. Well, we're about to wrap this up. Before I let you go, thank you so much for joining us. And this is not, and I still have another question, but I don't like to wait till the end of something to say thank you for letting people. I appreciate them, but I really do appreciate you taking the time. So what was the question that you're hoping to answer with Priced Out?
Yeah, you know, I think with everything I do or everything I have opportunity to do, where I can apply the question of where is the humanity in this given issue, is kind of always what's at the core of the project of the document, whether that's, you know, print journalism or video. The experience is really for the viewer. Can we get the viewer to connect on an emotional level, and can they look at the issue in a new way that perhaps they haven't looked at it? They haven't seen the issue through this different lens, and that maybe creates more empathy and compassion for other people, especially other people who do not share your views. And so that's always the question, is can we get people to feel the humanity through the issue and then look at the issue again in a new light?
Outstanding. Cornelius, once again, thank you for joining us on today's Art Focus. Best of luck. And like I said, I work at PCM, so if there's anything I can do, don't hesitate to reach out.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Well, thank you all for joining us, and I've got some recap of some of our art news. Once again, the Residency in the Garden is a site-specific artist-in-residence program looking to create a system of hospitality that encourages guests to investigate their art practice in an urban flower garden located in Portland, Oregon. Let's see. The Voice is a Muscle annual grant. Each year, the Voice is a Muscle awards a $10,000 grant to an Oregon writer to be distributed in two payments over the course of a year. They're dedicated to amplifying artistic voices by extending direct financial resources to writers. Your artistic labor is important and urgently needed now more than ever. Their 2017 inaugural grant will be dedicated to the voices of people of color. Go check out their website, corporealvoices.org. Drawing as Core at Northview Gallery, PCC, Sylvania, this exhibition will be a collection of large-scale singular installations by Karen Essler, Laura Ross Paul, and Renee Zanagra. Let me mention that I'm going to have Laura Ross Paul as a guest, as a special guest at next week's Art Focus. Joseph Galavan is going to cede some of his time to me. So I'm going to have Laura here next Tuesday, live in studio at 11:30 a.m. Hope that you guys can join us all then. Are you a video maker? This is something new. Are you a video maker, an artist who wants to teach your skills to others? In a 2-hour workshop hosted at Portland Community Media on Monday, December 12th, media artist and educator Jody Darby will go over the nuts and bolts of becoming a teaching video artist. Learn some of the best practices, such as lesson plans, equipment wrangling, and how to integrate your practice into your lesson plans. You'll also get an overview of what teaching opportunities are available in our region. This is a free workshop, so please go visit pcmtv.org and hit the Learn button to register. Well, you can, as always, find photos, links, as well as the guest info on our show page. That's at kboo.fm/artfocus. Please find Art Focus on iTunes. That's right, we're now being rebroadcast on iTunes, so please give us a rating and some feedback. Audience feedback is always welcome. As you know, if you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast of the show online on our KBOO Art Focus page, and I'll probably throw a link up on Facebook as well. As always, it's my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist or a musician or a filmmaker or an artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on the show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to artists as well. That's why when I learn about residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you'll hear about it on this show, as well as our Facebook page and our KBOO Art Focus show page right on our website at KBOO FM. Well, we're going out to the sounds of Higher Plane by Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thanks again for joining us on Art Focus, only on KBOO Radio, Portland, Oregon. Take care and peace.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winona LaDuke, speaking Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the EMU Ballroom at the University of Oregon in Eugene. Winona LaDuke will speak on nature's historic position as property and the international call to legally recognize nature's right to exist, persist, and naturally evolve. This global movement is dedicated to normalizing